And we're back, Strohs & Ripe Show podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. It is another week, another tournament on the PGA Tour, and we're going to take you on site this week. Another elevated event as the boys roll into the Wells Fargo Championship, a great venue, Quail Hollow Golf Club, a great field. But we're missing two guys by the name of John Rahm and Scotty Scheffler. So you're telling me there's a chance for the other guys. Joining me on site from Wells Fargo, Keith Stewart. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Any better, I'd be twins. I can't wait to roll right through this.
Well, I'm excited to have you on. We've been working on it. I've been following your stuff. I know you've got a lot of stuff in the hopper. I know you've been in the business a long time, and this gambling angle is something that you're very passionate at and you're really good at. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing some of your knowledge.
Hey, for two pros to get together and talk about golf betting, there's nothing better in my mind. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is a dream come true.
Well, take us there. Yeah, I know you're sitting in the media center there at Quail Hollow. Good field. What's the buzz? The weather is looking pretty good. A chance of rain on Saturday. But as I understand, they've had quite a bit of rain up to this point, so the golf course gonna be pretty soft. It sounds like
the golf course is soft. It's almost gonna play completely different than from when I was here in September for the President's Cup, which was firm and fast and much more, you know, hard for the guys to try to hit their targets off the tee and around the green. So I think that, you know, everyone always makes such a big deal about length, but you can make these things 7,000 yards long, and it always seems like they're hitting 8-iron into the green. So at the end of the day, I think that it will help them, the fact that they had almost 3 inches of rain last Friday, and it's been warm in April. So the grass has been growing, all your overseeds and everything, they're all taking hold. So I think the golf course is going to play a little bit soft, but much like we would expect in something like this that, you know, we've grown to love, right, you know, so far this year in 2023, which are these designated events where the big boys go at it.
Yeah, you have Rahm, you have Scheffler, but neither one of them are there. And we were talking before we came on air, and you made the statistic that those two guys have won, what, 5 of 8 to this point?
5 of 8. So we've had 6 designated, and then we've had the players and also the Masters. So those guys have taken home 5 of them. So I think that everyone that's in this field. So this morning I saw Xander in the press room, and then we just finished up with Finau, and both of them were smiling, and that's probably the case why.
Yeah. I would have to say so. You know, Xander's an interesting player this week. I've kind of stayed away from Xander most of the year. I've taken a pretty hard look at him. We'll get to the board here in a second. But, you know, you look at this golf course, you make some really good comments about how the course might play this week. Of course, it is going to be a little bit different of a golf course than what we saw in the President's Cup. When I think of the President's Cup, when they were there, I think of Jordan Spieth. He went 5-0. However, Spieth hasn't played in this tournament in years past, so I think he's an interesting name. But this golf course, as you mentioned, there's some length here. The guys, when you look at the approach game, you're going to get a lot of shots from 150 to 175. You're going to get a lot of shots from 175 to 200. You're going to see some long iron shots, probably more so from 200 plus. The off the tee game, we know, has value here. What's really interesting when you look at the last 3 winners, and you go back to Max Homa back in 2022 and how he did it. He was 5.8 off the tee positive. He was 4.3 in approach, and he was 7.6 in putting. He actually lost 2.7 around the greens. You go back to Rory in 2021, he didn't gain any strokes around the green. He did it with approach, positive 5.3. He did it with the putter, positive 7. You go back to 2019, Max Homa, he didn't gain any strokes around the green. He did it with approach, 4.6, and a really hot putter, which was positive 9.9. Are we just going to, like, say, look, short game doesn't matter? This week, you know, give me someone who can, you know, get it out there a little off the tee. I need obviously a great approach game, but I need a blazing hot putter because that's the way it's played out the last 3 years.
Average green size, 6,500 square feet. A lot of things about this place remind me of another place down there at Magnolia Lane. And the only difference that I can see in the skill set that it takes, I mean, I think they're 16 yards apart in total length on the scorecard. And here you have one less par five. So there's the impact of even more distance, right? They talk about the green mile. Forget the green mile. This course is 5.2 miles long, Travis. And don't get too caught up on Max last year, because remember, we were where it was rainy and cold at TPC Potomac, or TPC Avenel at Potomac, or whatever they call that thing, right? Where they used to have the Kemper Open. And, you know, totally different golf course. But if you look at the last 10 editions that were here at Quail Hollow, so you got to skip that one. Skip the COVID year. We didn't have one. And you skip 2017 because they were doing a renovation here. And we went over to Wilmington, the one that Harmon won. You know, everyone's all over Harmon. Well, that was at a different golf course. You are completely right. Everyone overlooks the fact that those last 10 winners have gained over six strokes on average on the greens, and approach is like the third highest average of all the strokes gained categories. I mean, that never happens week to week. On a Tuesday, you're never talking about approach coming in third place.
Right.
And to me, I guess Fazio did a good job with these green complexes. Three putt avoidance is a huge statistic this week.
Yep.
Three putt frequency is way higher than PGA Tour average. It's like almost 18% more. So I think that it's not a place where last year it was maybe a no putt contest because you saw Cam Young, you saw Keegan Bradley up near the top. I think this year it's back to a putting contest for sure, alongside definitely a bomber.
Yeah, Homa, two of the last 3 years, hasn't been playing his best coming in as we kind of transition to the board. I know probably his performance at the Masters was, disappointing to him, as that's the next step for him is to be more competitive in major championships. But as we get to the board, there's our guy Rory. He's missed two elevated events. He comes back to a place that he's done quite well at over the years. Three wins at this tournament, an overwhelming favorite right now as I look at DraftKings plus 700. Let's just start there. I mean, what do we expect from Rory as he gets into the press conference? Hopefully his game's in good order, but more important than that, hopefully mentally he's in good order as well. What do you think from our man Rory?
Well, don't get too excited about the press conference. On today's schedule and tomorrow's, he's not there.
Okay.
So $3 million question. It's going to have to wait another 2 weeks maybe until we get to the PGA in order to get answered. He's ducking the media. And I think that Travis, think about it. We always talk about horses for courses or what makes golfers comfortable. You as a coach are always, trying to give us all sorts of swing thoughts that when we go out there in the field of battle, we have something with which to attack with. And, Rory loves this place, 11 times and like nine top tens and three wins. So, Quail Hollow for him is a very comfortable place and probably the best place he could come back to. I mean, the last time he missed the cut at the Masters, he won here. So I think it's a good situation for Rory overall to definitely place. You could get him at some good positive money there at top five. And I think he'll contend not having to answer the questions in the media room. We'll still, though, have a cloud hanging over him, because if he does start to play well, he's going to get in front of him. And, sometimes it's better to get those things out of the way early. And you know as well as I do, as the putter goes, so does Rory.
Yeah, yeah. And he knows how to putt those greens. But good for Rory. If there's anybody that deserves a pass in the media room, it's Rory McIlroy, for crying out loud. The guy's taken the bulk of the questions. He's been the face of this through these turbulent times of a competitor in the world, or in the world of golf. So yeah, I don't think I'll bet Rory at seven, but as we get into the board, Cantlay at currently now at 12. There's Schauffele at 14, Finau at 14. I'll stop there. Yesterday, it was all things Tony Finau on the podcast. And look, I think Tony Finau, we've seen incremental gains over the years, and particularly with the putter, steady gains. He's always been, in my eyes, at least in the last 3 years, over a course of a year, in the top third on the PGA Tour of putting. It's never been a case, can Tony Finau putt? Sure, he has his off weeks like everybody, but he's now strokes gained approach, he's number one. I think the biggest difference that I see with Tony Finau is all situational golf. He looks more comfortable late on a Sunday, and holding off John Rahm, by four shots, and those, some of those key up and downs late on a Sunday, the acceleration, the conviction in which he hit some of these short game shots and putts, I think was a huge step. Now he comes into a place where, look, you know, Finau hasn't played great here. T41 last year, missed the cut in 2021, T60, T21. But the confidence has to be at an all-time high. We saw him last year go back-to-back. What kind of chance do you give him this year to go back-to-back?
I'm so happy that you grabbed me this week while I'm on the road because this morning it was a tale of two cities, and you mentioned a couple names there. So first thing, we had Xander, and Xander came across very, very like, this is business today or this week. This is, I'm pushing towards something. He has not been at a point this year where he's comfortable with. He said, I have to earn my days off. You could go look at the transcript. He goes, I have to earn my days off. I'm not going to skip a designated event until I feel like I've earned the right to do that. I'm not high enough on the FedEx Cup points. I'm not high enough on the Ryder Cup list. Like, he kept mentioning all these things. Like, I have these goals and I'm not checking boxes. Now, fast forward a couple hours later and we get Finau. Tony's always wall-to-wall teeth. I mean, he's always smiling, right? But the difference in what he kind of presented to the room and the way that he kind of expressed himself was so different because he's checked a couple of those boxes off.
Yeah.
So will Tony finally take the next step and win a designated event and or win a major? Well, geez, I mean, he can't hit it any better to do it. But part of the game is mental. And the way those two guys came in the room, I definitely feel like if I was gonna fade somebody, it wouldn't be Finau because, you know, obviously the numbers are there and his attitude was one of which it's total acceptance. And you know as well as anybody, when you're playing golf at the highest level, you got to kind of do the things that you do. And, yeah, you could work in the off time, but it really seemed like Xander was pressing, and it also seemed like Finau was just super, super comfortable. We can't win every week, but it seems like Finau is able to play good in bunches.
Yeah, I look at Xander – gosh, you know, I mean, statistically, he's always, he always checks so many boxes. I do like that mid-iron game for Xander. The three-putt avoidance probably concerns me a little bit with Xander. You look at him, strokes gain approach in this field. Last 100 rounds, he's number one. Obviously, Finau's right there. And the driver's been a little bit of the bugaboo. I feel like Xander looks at, okay, no Scheffler, no Rahm. You know, where's Rory's head at? All right. Cantlay, I always got to deal with. You know, Homa's probably going to put some things together here at this event. I don't know. It just feels like it could be a Xander potential week. You know, a little better with the driver. Let's have a week with the putter. He's been here in the past, T14. T24, somewhere in there. So he's had some top 25s. Gosh, I want to bet Xander, but I just can't pull the trigger. Like, that's where I'm at. I think you make a valid point. How do you fade Finau right now coming in at an all-time high? He knows the next step is to win one of these elevated events because, look, five of his six wins have been in lesser fields, albeit. So he'd like to check one of these off.
Well, you know what? I'm going to push you off the Xander fence right now.
I'm on Finau again.
All right, but I'm going to push you off the Xander fence. If you don't know what to do with Xander.
All right.
So he admitted it this morning. He goes, I've drove the ball terribly this year. I'm terrible. That's what he said. He goes, but don't pay attention to the stats just quite yet because it's going to show a lot of what I was doing earlier in the year. He goes, you're not going to see the numbers from the match play. He goes, I drove the ball good there. He goes, you're not going to see the numbers from the team at Zurich, you know, Classic. He goes, I drove the ball well there. He goes, those aren't going to fall in there. He goes, you're not going to see the numbers at RBC because it's not a driver golf course. It's a second shot golf course. So at the end of the day, if he's trending and there's truth in what he's saying, he feels much better about the driver. And maybe this isn't Xander yet, but in 2 weeks, he's a perfect fit for Oak Hill with his well-rounded game. And that mid-iron approach game that he has and his ability to scramble and make putts under 10 feet. So as much as I'd be more happy with Finau this week and then Xander in 2 weeks because he looks like he's fighting and building towards something, whereas Tony is just like in the zone right now.
All right, let me give you some other names here as we work down the board. Spieth, you know, we 5-0 here is awful impressive. I mean, no one's – the guy that's coming in right behind Finau playing the best golf has got to be Jordan Spieth. I mean, the guy's playing terrific golf. But let me give you a couple options here. Who finds the putter this week? Is it Cameron Young finally? Does he get off the schneid and get a W? Does JT find the putter? The putter's been holding him back. He's got to be extremely frustrated with what's been happening with his putter. Or is it Victor Hovland? There's three names that we know have all the upside. Victor, he's going to wear you out with the driver and the irons. But that putter's been a little weird. We know the short game, although it looks better to me. It looks better to me. Statistically, he's still losing strokes. But then Cameron Young, my God, if that putter wakes up, look out.
You know what? This would be a perfect golf course for Cameron Young to win his first event.
Okay.
But then again, on a Tuesday, I bet you've said that a lot. So, you know, my caveat there is that, you know, last year I loved him at TPC Avenel. And you know what? He came in, what, second runner-up, and he putted horribly. And You know what? He's going to need to putt better here to do it. Is this the breakthrough place? I don't know. I have to lean of those three that you just gave me. I got to lean towards Victor. Because overall, he's proven over a larger sample size that he can putt well, but also that he can ball strike the hell out of it. You know, driving and irons, is there anyone better in the game with just those two things? You know, yes, Spieth's hot right now. Finau's been hot for about 10 months. John Rahm is probably better, but Victor is right up there. And the putter is not his biggest weakness. And if we've already established that around the green isn't necessarily, you know, this isn't the week to be Seve, then, boy, of those three, I'm more apt to go after Victor because as far as JT goes, there's a type A guy. Mm-hmm. And, yes, is he coming back to a comfortable place? Maybe. What, 4-1 at the President's Cup, won a PGA here. He's contended here before, plays well here, but, man – If I'm giving you the impression that Xander seemed like he was grinding this morning, then, like, you know, JT's a one-arm paper hanger. I mean, He is, like, every time I see him and he's working with John Graham on the putting green, it's like, you know, I'm not sure which of the two of them is going to have a heart attack first. So, like, who's going to pop with the putter first? At a place where you have to putt, I mean, those guys think about that stuff. You know that, Travis. You've been in the mind of a player before. They know coming in, because they're told by their coaches what they need to work on. Just like you and I approach each week handicapping as a coach rather than as an algo head, you know, like it's not all just data, it swings in science too. And those guys, it all plays a part. And I just, of those three, I got to go Hovland. I mean, Hovland to me is somebody that if the putter even breaks even, that he's top five this week.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been there. You know, I've had a little concern with Hovland, the swing coach, all of a sudden change to Pat from Jeff Smith to Joe Mayo, who looked, I mean, a brilliant mind. And I thought Jeff Smith did a really good job with him. But look, you know, I mean, Hovland, sometimes I feel like he's searching, you know, a little too much. Sometimes perhaps I think there might be a little too much hand holding with him at times, but you know, look, he's played very well. He's looked good, looked real clean with the driver and the irons. I do think the short game does look better to me. Like shots he's hitting, it looks better, although he's still losing strokes. That putter feels it can be hot and cold. But I tend to agree of that group. I'm probably going to bet Hovland, although Cam Young, I think of all the stories here, Cam Young getting his first win here would be pretty cool. I mean, I'd like to see him get on the board and get a win. I agree on JT. I think, you know, look, John Graham's a great putting coach. I think they had some early traction there when he started with them and winning the players. But right now, it's just kind of what's going on. You know, he's fighting it. He looks rigid. It looks technical. And it's not improving, and it's got to be very frustrating for JT right now to be putting the time in and all these things, and he's just not getting the traction with the flat stick.
Here's my case on JT versus some of the others, right? When you look at Hovland or you look at Morikawa, it's always like the short game and the putter. right? When you look at JT, the guy is one of the top three guys on the tour right now around the green, but he can't putt. So that's putting even more pressure on it. Usually guys that are good chippers and pitchers are good putters as well. They have great touch. They have great feel. They have great distance control. They have great delivery speed control with the club head, you know, arm speed, all of those things. The fact that, you know, you take a great ball striker like Morikawa and he can't chip and he can't putt. Well, like, okay, I kind of get that, right? Like, those seem to go together. The fact that JT can't putt but he can chip tells me it's all mental. And what's going to be the breakthrough there? Is it going to come here where, you know, it looks like there's a bunch of elephants buried under the greens? I mean, it's not I just don't see that. And he knows going in that that's all he needs. So there's even more pressure on it. So for me, just move on down the board. JT, yeah. 15th in the world. It's a precipitous fall, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and it leads to the flat stick.
Morikawa's first time here. The mid-range, the mid-iron game's not going to scare him. The driver, he'll keep it in play. I do like the changes he's made around the green. The putter looks good to me. First time, though, on these greens, he's going to come out and win? I don't know. What do you think?
It's not his first time because he played the President's
first
Cup.
Time. Yeah, he played the President's Cup, yeah.
But he was 2-1 there, and he wasn't in the greatest of form last year, and I felt like they kind of hit him. So as I really looked kind of deep at the President's Cup, who played well, who stood out, right? It's the obvious names. It's Max. It was Siwoo. It was Tom Kim. It was JT. And Morikawa wasn't one of those names. Cam Young wasn't one of those names. Mm. And at the end of the day, you know, we're playing the same golf course. Granted, stroke is much different than match play, but we're playing the same golf course. And if we're just trying to pick winners, I mean, the funnel gets pretty narrow at the bottom, and you got to start throwing people out for some reason. So I'm with you. No, very little experience, only match play experience, and you know these guys that have struggled with the putter, maybe they're not gonna get there right now in this golf course. I got you.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at as well. I'm probably gonna pass on him. You know, can he put four rounds together? I was on him a couple weeks ago. Three really good rounds. Struggled one of the rounds. Is M ready to win in an elite field? Probably going to pass on that. Jason Day, former champ. Look, been playing great golf. He knows his way around this golf course. He's getting some odds there. I'll tell you the name that really is interesting to me. Got a guy blowing some leaves in the backdrop. We'll let him go.
Yeah.
Fine. He's good now. All right, the guy that's interesting to me, Keith, is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Had the win there a couple weeks ago. The number that sticks out is positive 6.2 approach. I've always said Fitzpatrick, look, he's going to keep it in front of you with the driver. He's going to do enough with the short game and the putter. Is Matthew Fitzpatrick an elite iron player? That is the question. And if he is, Matthew Fitzpatrick's going to win a lot because he can do the rest of the game, and he got that win positive 6.2 at RBC Heritage. This is a different golf course now. He's probably going to have some longer shots into these greens, but I'm really curious. He was T2nd here last year. I'm curious on the trajectory of Fitzpatrick in his iron game.
Well, I'll tell you what, looking at this field ahead of time and where you're going to put Matt Fitzpatrick in the spectrum of can he win here? He's got the putter. He's got the driver. So that's two big boxes that are checked off.
Yep.
He misses a lot of greens in regulation because everyone always goes, oh, Matt Fitzpatrick is great at bogey avoidance. Well, you know as well as I do, that means you're missing greens. Yep. That means that you're a good short game player and that, you know, chances are you need to hit more greens in regulation. So you hit the nail on the head there. It seems like the injury question is gone with him. You mentioned another name, Jason Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened at the Masters there? And we haven't seen him, so what's Jay Day up to? I don't know. There's a lot of questions circling there. And then you mentioned Sungjae and winning in a big field here at Wells Fargo. Well, you know, Wells Fargo's had a legitimate field for a long time. It's been, you know, people love to come and play Quail Hollow. This is an event here. You know, they know how to take care of people. Media Center, I mean, the donuts they had this morning were fantastic. You know, and when you step it up in the Media Center for the food, then you know you're at a real event. And you know, I think Sungjae, I mean, have you really – Sungjae kind of always falls under the radar. Maybe it's the language barrier. I don't know. But if you look at his recent numbers, the guy is really hitting the ball good.
Yeah.
You know, 7th at RBC, 16th at the Masters, 6th at the Players. You know, it's the approach play was a little off around March, but it's back in play. It's the putter for him usually, but he's had some good putting sessions. And he's gaining in his last 5 starts like 6.5 strokes against the field. Of that group, until Fitzpatrick proves to me week in, week out, I mean, you know, it's a lot of 9 irons at RBC Heritage.
Yeah.
Greens, right? Here, yep. It's going to be a lot of long irons. So that's why I'm going to lean towards Sungjae here. And, you know, maybe definitely not Day because of the whatever the concerns are there, whether it was fatigue at the Masters, I don't know, but I just don't know. And again, we're trying to pick winners. And Fitz does fit a lot of places, but you got to prove to me, like, if he goes top 10 this week and his long iron play is right where it needs to be, then by all means, rolling into Oak Hill, he's one of those guys you really got to look at strongly because it's an old Donald Ross golf course, you know, tree line and everything, and it's going to suit him in a lot of ways like the country club did.
Yeah, I think those are all valid points. You know, I just – every time I get, you know, Sungjae, it's just always like a little something, right, that just doesn't quite allow him to propel and get that win because we know he has a skill set to do all that. I was on him. I was all over him at RBC. You know, he finished 7th and, you know, he opens up at 66, gets the better end of the draw, goes out there, perfect conditions in round 2 and shoots one over. I mean, just like, what? Like, you know, one over, and then he comes back on the weekend and goes 66, 67, and he can't make up that ground, to get that win. So it's coming, right? Like, I just, you know, Sungjae has the skill set. I think this is a place for him. You know, I think he's in the upper third when it comes to that mid iron game. You know, strokes gained par 4 in this range is good. Gets a lot of looks and opportunities. His putter has been pretty good as of late. He'll get it up and down if needed. Man, I just, you know, am I going to just beat my head against the wall on Sungjae again, for another day? I haven't bet it. But you make some really good, valid points. I think Burns is interesting. Bermuda Burns, my boy, I've been all over him. Every win he's had has been money in my pocket, including the match play, which was a nice 50-1 hit. Yeah. You know, he withdrew back in 19, 2018, T55, playing pretty well. Feels like I'm going to have to pass, though, this week on Burns. Hatton, Fowler, Thigala, Kim. I think Kim is the most interesting as we kind of work down the board. I think Kim, to me, is the most interesting in this group as we start getting into now the 40, 45, 50, 55-1. Who do you like in that group, even down to Fleetwood?
Oh, boy. All right. You touched on something there that I think is important for your listeners to know on a Tuesday. And that is that going back to John Graham, good friend of mine, Rochester guy, so a great guest for your show when you're going into Oak Hill because he knows it like the back of his hand. But I talked to
live TV, live social, hit the wrong button. Continue, sir, on your incredible thoughts there is on John Graham.
So JG says that this Poa Trivialis overseed that we see all the time does not putt like Bermuda. It almost punts like bent. They have it down so good that it's so pure that it removes a lot of the grain that you see with Bermuda. So when you see that week in and week out on the superintendent's report, I would start in the model, either not favoring Bermuda at all and just keeping it blank, or even going to the bent guys. Because at the end of the day, even though Burns is one of the top 10 putters in the field, it can't be Bermuda grass putting that's the reason that you want to take him this week. If you told me he's a great driver of the golf ball, and we know he's a good putter, and, you know, he's in great form, then by all means, I could get there on Sam Burns. But one of the guys you skipped over quite quickly that I'm really high on this week is a guy that's won here before, and that's Ricky Fowler. Now, a lot of people, we've been waiting on Ricky for a long time. But much like we talk about Rory being in a comfortable place, this has got to be a place that's comfortable for Ricky. He's played here. He played here well even during the times that he wasn't playing well. So he likes this golf course. His eye fits this golf course. And if you look at the ball striking, it's been really good. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, he's one of those guys. He's got four top tens and only one missed cut here in 10 tries. Got the win, right? He's made all 8 cuts this year. He's got 5 top 15 finishes. Everything that we brought him up for a couple different reasons works. And if we're just going to say that Tony Finau can now start winning a bunch of tournaments because he's hitting the heck out of the ball, then you got to pay attention to the fact that Ricky's won tournaments before, and maybe he's back. I mean, what was it about Jordan that set him apart when he came back and he had that win at Valero after the big drought? He was just hitting the heck out of the ball, right? Yep. And he was trending. He was consistently doing it. You know, Ricky could be back in that place. And then, you know, he should totally be. And the reason I bring him up now, but he's at a much lower number, is that he should be in that 50 range. Hmm. And maybe that's not the reason to bet him, but why does every book have him down around 40?
Yeah.
Because he's a liability at this place. And you got to think about him as a possible winner, at least in my mind.
I see him at 35 right now in a couple.
Yeah. Come on, Travis. If you were writing the book on Monday, you would put him in the 50s. Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, I think I would put him in the 50s, you know, right there. I mentioned Fleetwood and Tom Kim, Sahith Theegala, Shane Lowry. Now, you know, you get up to the 60s, you got Connors and Clark and Bradley. Boy, I'm having a hard time through this stretch. I'll be honest. I think Mitchell, it has cooled off. You know, we saw a little, some good play there with Keith. You know, his driver will be a weapon here, you would think, on this golf course. I do like some of the short game work that he's done, with Parker McLaughlin. I think there was a nice little push there with that. Theegala, I don't know if this is the best venue for him. I think there's probably other places that I think, you know, he kind of sprays it off the tee a little bit. I know his short game's magic, but I think he's going to have to do a little bit more when it comes to Theegala. I'm trying to find an angle here of just perhaps, right? You're always this angle of you start getting into these 60s and 70s and 80s, right? Especially in an elevated event, which feels far-fetched in the way things are going, right? Because we see these best players bubbling up and winning these things.
I got a guy like, for you.
Okay. All right. I'll save mine. Go ahead.
Think about this, too. I tried to establish this earlier. Wells Fargo here at Quail Hollow has always had a better-than-average field. One would argue it's been a strong field. Probably the only years that it wasn't was when the Players was in May and they kind of competed with one another. But it's been a long time since then. And all the guys that are playing well now that we're looking at tend to come here. So I find it odd that 6 times in the last 10 editions here, we've had a winner of plus 5,000 or higher. I mean, everyone's like Max Homa, Max Homa, Max Homa. Max Homa was a field bet when he won here. So he was 500-1.
Yep.
James Hahn. I mean, we could go down the list of guys and, you know, it's not a who's who. So, I mean, when you're looking at the fact that, you know, we can't get someone from this stretch, you know, one of the guys that really piques my interest right now, and everybody was all over him last week, and I can't remember if you were or not, but did you like Wyndham Clark last week?
Did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I was on him, and then you know he got off to a slow start, and then he almost backdoored him top 20.
So I have this theory: when you take a guy like Wyndham Clark, and you push him and make him a top 5 favorite at an event like that, he knows that. And next thing you know, there's all this pressure. He's in the media center. He's doing press conferences. He's like, oh, geez, Rahm just did a press conference. Now I need to do one. Holy cow, what am I doing here? Right now, all of a sudden, he's having an outer body experience. Right. What's changed about Wyndham Clark from last week to this week? Just his odds, right? We're talking about a guy who has 9 straight top 40 finishes on tour in 2023. The ball striking numbers are incredible. And if you told me he was a good pick for last week, he's certainly another good pick this week. So Wyndham at Wells just seems like the type of guy in that longer odds range. I mean, I really can't get to a guy over 100, like I alluded to Max being, you know, a field bet or whatever. But, like, I still think there's a guy like him, like a Will Gordon that hits it like that, or even a great ball striker like Keegan that are worth a sprinkle for sure. But for me, of that group, I'm in on Clark again, because if you love them, like we do this in betting all the time. There's a recency bias for who we're talking about, and then we just like toss them away like college girlfriends or something. It's like, come on, like what are we doing? You know, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like Wyndham Clark, he's hitting the ball like Spieth's hitting it, like Finau's hitting it, and I don't know, he just seems like the type of guy that is like, he fits a Quail Hollow winner, like a Webb Simpson. You know what I mean? He's just got like that kind of presence, like, and like a Max, you know, and he hits the ball good enough. So there you go.
Yeah, you start building these models out last 100 rounds, and you weigh out the approach, and you weigh out off the tee, and you weigh out some of these distances of 175 to 200, and how many opportunities do you look, three putt avoidance, you know, some of these key statistics that we're talking about, and he's ranked seventh. You know, I mean, that's where he's at. He's ranked seventh. Hey, look, I've been pounding Wyndham Clark's drum. I mean, I have, and I have him circled. And I'm not saying I'm jumping back off of him, but he did get off to that slow start Thursday. And I did think, you know, all right, he's in the limelight here. People are betting him. This is his chance to get a win. Da da da. I know he's not working with Boyd Summerhays anymore either. I don't know if he's with someone else or if he's on his own. So I think I'll ask Boyd tomorrow. He's actually going to be on the podcast. You know, maybe Wyndham's kind of taking it on his own right now and taking a little more ownership. But he's been there. He's been playing some really good golf. I'm with you. Let me give you a couple names. We'll play this. Whose putter's going to pop again? Right. That's kind of what we do.
Right? All right. Yeah. I mean, well, that's basically it. Every week is a putting contest, right?
I know. Right. Like you know how it is. You convince yourself, oh man, he can hit it. Driver, irons. Just have that putting week, right? And if he can, he's gonna. All right, here's two names.
Oh, here we go. I
think you know who they are. I think you know who they are. I mean, who's absolute? Gary Woodland is just crushing the golf ball, right? And then Corey Connors, my boy, Corey Connors, right? Like we know, there's two great ball strikers, and oh, dare I say, Corey Connors, for the last 5 weeks in the positive in putting, and he was positive 2.2 here last year, and he didn't even hit it that good. So if Corey Connors hits it like he usually does, and he's positive 2.2 in putting, by God, he's got a chance to win this thing. I'm not sure he's hitting it better than Gary Woodland, though.
You know, I had Woodland. I was all over Woodland last week. Any category you could put him in, one and done, outright, everything. You know, I was just all over Woodland. And you watch him, and you almost feel bad for the guy. I mean, how could someone hit it that good and not be able to putt even reasonably, like break even with the putter? I mean, you know, the only guy that's jealous of Gary Woodland is Luke List at the end of the day. But, you know, when you talk about Corey Connors, right? Again, I was here at the President's Cup. Corey Connors, you know, here's a plug for you. Stripe show. Every match, right? Guy just unbelievable. And he couldn't putt it off the tip of a canoe into a lake. It's really tough to watch, because someone who's a premier coach like yourself, and you understand the skill set it takes to be able to have a proximity to the hole from 200 yards plus and lead the tour like a Corey Connors could, right? And then not be able to do something like make a bunch of putts from the PGA Tour average of 50%, which is 8 feet, like even come close to that. It's almost mind numbing. And we've established, and the horse is, it's dead to rights, you know, take him out the pasture. This is not the place where the putter's going to pop. It was proven. Yeah, I mean,
well, last year now, Connors, positive 2.3 last year.
But that was in Maryland. That wasn't
God's
here.
Right. God, never mind. Never mind. What am I thinking? Is that right? Maryland?
I mean, never mind. The biggest key to research this week, everybody, is where was the event played, right? And Connors
That's right.
was awesome.
What am I thinking?
He was awesome. Yeah. He was awesome. And that was a hard golf course. And he, like Max, on approach play. So that place really favored approach play. And then it got cold, and then it got wet, and it really favored approach play, right? And you look at the top of that list. You had Keegan, can't putt, was great. Connors, can't putt, was great. Cam Young, can't putt, was great. Max, was great and putted. So he won.
Yeah.
You know, it's – so this is a different ball game. And popping with the putter, hey, things can happen, right. But
yeah. All right. All right, Connors is scratched. I can't bet Woodland either. No. I mean, my guy, I mean, God, he's hitting it good though. My goodness, is he's on an all-timer right now. I'll tell you the guy that's improved over the last year is Taylor Moore. I mean, this guy is getting better. You talk about athletes on the PGA Tour. I don't think he gets in that conversation enough. We saw him win at the Valspar. He was 39th at the Masters. He was 11th at Heritage. You look at him statistically. I like this young man. Now, is he going to come here and win this? I don't know, but he's going to make the cut. You could convince me of a top 20 of Taylor Moore as we work down into the odds here of 80-1. I certainly like him over Chris Kirk. I'll take him over Brian Harman, who I know has won here. Taylor Moore's going to be around a while, isn't he?
He is. I watched him for a couple holes. He was in one of the featured groups down at RBC, and he really impressed me, especially in the scoring yardage areas. So pitching, chipping, putting, anything from, let's say, 150 and in, really, really solid player. Did the win push him over the edge for confidence? It probably doesn't hurt, but he plays difficult golf courses as well. I mean, it's funny. I'm not a big model guy, but I run one because it always kind of gives me a good laugh of who – you know, maybe further down the board, like these guys, like jump up as far as skill set goes. And on the one I ran, Taylor Moore, he comes after Sung J.M. and he's followed by Justin Thomas and Gary Woodland. So, I mean, he's an elite company for what he's been doing. And I keep my models very tight when I do it. So at the most I ever use is about 36 rounds. So I like the guys that are playing well at the time with which I'm looking at them, right? There's a statistic on tour. It's like, every guy makes 80% of his money over like a 6-week span, except Tiger, you know? So when they're hot, that's when you want to go get them. And, you know, Taylor Moore, he's been in a good mode right now. And that's why he's coming up on everybody's research. And then you look at the number and you say, geez, this guy 85-1 or whatever you're going to get him at 75-1. Well, you know, him or Keegan Bradley or Wyndham Clark. I mean, those are the guys we're comparing there. And, yep. He's proven it recently.
Yeah, he has. He's impressive. I like him. And his game, you know, look, he's been out there now a little bit. He looks like he's taken his licks. He's learned some of the courses. He's, you know, he just looks more confident in what he's doing, and you can see it. And obviously getting the win has to be huge. You talked about models. Well, I'll go back to a little model that I ran here. And the guy that pops up, you know, on these, in this long course and, you know, off the tee and some approach and this mid and long iron game, and let's get some good opportunities. And then, you know, here's that bugaboo again, that putter. What are we going to get? You know, as we look down the board and those 110, that's Cameron Davis. Well, I mean, there's a guy that look, I think tee to green, I think he likes it here. This is a good spot for him. Can he make enough putts? I sprinkled a little on him. 6th at the Players. That's good enough for me. 7th at RBC. He's doing some good things. And we've seen him pop and win. Wouldn't be surprised to see him there late on a Sunday.
I would be surprised.
You would? Okay.
Yeah, you're bringing up some highlights, but there have been a lot of lowlights this year. Everybody was hot on Cam Davis. I remember doing a season-long
fantasy draft. Well, he was hurt. He wasn't feeling good early in the season. Wasn't feeling good.
True. Yeah. But at the end of the day, so is he back, right? We know we're thinking Matt Fitzpatrick is back from when he was hurt earlier in the year. I need a little more from Cam Davis to win right now. His performance here, being a rookie at the President's Cup, he was awesome. Every part was firing. So if you want to tell me he's a good guy for a placement this week or a head-to-head, I'm all over it with you, Travis. But to win and get a sprinkle, I'm not quite there yet. But it's getting back to close to be Cam Davis time, where he's one of those guys in that range that you kind of have to flirt with all the time.
Well, I'm taking the seed here. Like, you're okay. You mentioned Homa. Okay, he had big odds. You mentioned a couple other guys, James Hahn. That, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna I'll throw a little sprinkle on Cam Davis in the hundreds. All right, Kitayama. He won a nice field. He's at 125. That was a difficult golf course. At Bay Hill, do we sprinkle a little on him? Davis Riley has seemed to be kind of worked his way out of the coach change that he made from Jeff Smith to Mark Blackburn. His iron game starting to show life. Do we sprinkle him? I mean, and there's Akshay. 150. Oh. I talked about him. I talked about him in great length last week. I said, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if Akshay was in there, and he was. He handled himself well, and by God, he looked like he belonged.
So if you loved Akshay last week, to go down the Wyndham route, okay? Most people don't realize that they, oh, you know, they do the backstory on Akshay. He was born in L.A., all this stuff, right? He spent most of his formative years in North Carolina, living in near Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. So if this is North Carolina golf at its finest, at its most elite here, with all due respect to Pinehurst and everywhere else, Quail Hollow is Augusta National of the state of North Carolina. I mean, this place is phenomenal. It is a shrine to golf. So if somebody could handle North Carolina golf, it was obvious to me that he could handle the big stage, and he definitely learned some things on that back nine come Sunday. I'm definitely going to give Akshay a sprinkle for sure. Yep. I've loved this kid since I saw him at Plainfield in the 2017 Junior President's Cup. He's got some swagger, and you need a little of that to win on the PGA Tour for sure.
I put a little sprinkle on Stevens too. I like Samuel Stevens, 26, Oklahoma State. Rookie playing very well. I like this kid. Akshay and Stevens have been two guys, you know, down the board here into the hundreds that I'll put a little on in addition to Davis.
Love the Stevens call. I do. Yeah. He's just one of those guys that he's doing all the right things, 1% better every day. And he just, I mean, the numbers don't lie. You know, at the end of the day, you could say what you want about no cut, cut, whatever. This is a meritocracy, right? And we know about Taylor Moore and Wyndham Clark and Will Gordon and Akshay because they are playing better than their peers. Mm-hmm. And flat out, you got to be impressed with what Sam Stevens has done since he's been up on the big stage. It's really cool.
I think as we look down the board, I think the rookie that's probably been a little disappointment to me has been Davis Thompson. I know he was second at the American Express. I thought he would do a little bit more. I was kind of big on him coming out of Georgia. I thought his driver, you know, he'd be one of the best drivers on tour. I thought his iron game would be a little more polished. And, he's making cuts for the most part. But he's not flashing maybe like I thought he would. You know, I'll probably stay away from him on this venue, the Georgia Bulldog. But, you know, a guy that has probably been a little disappointing in my eyes. And then you've got to who I miss. I'm drawing a blank on the rookie big kid out of UNLV with the putter.
Taylor Montgomery.
Yeah, thank you.
Not good lately. No.
Yeah, not good lately.
Not good. Yeah, it's as bad as Alex Noren is. For some reason, he started out hot. He got $2 million in the bank and had all those top 10s in the fall. And then the real guy showed up, and then I don't know what happened. And that kid's got a ton of talent. I don't want to speak poorly of him, but if you're just looking at the numbers, you know, you go further down the board and you start talking about, does a guy have a good, you know, presence around the green complexes, and is he a good driver? Well, hey, Ben Ahn, there's another guy right there.
I bet him last week.
He's got a great short game. Yep. Maybe that's not as important as it needs to be, but he's a good putter, and man, he can bomb it. Yep. So, you know, and he puts the ball in play with the driver. So, you know, he's up in that 200, 250 range. So if you want to go deep, at least there's a guy that has shown the form, and he's got more than one skill set that you can depend upon versus like if you went after Hayden Buckley, who's just a great driver of the golf ball and has played great as of late. But we know we want the putter to kind of roll here too.
Yeah, you got to have the putter rolling here. Like an Eric Cole, we know he has a short game in putting. He's been impressive. I mean, gives up some distance, but Eric Cole has had a nice run. I'm not sure I'll bet him here, but, you know, I bet Ben Ahn last week. He made me some money in some head-to-heads with the buddy. So that was a lot of fun. And I also was on EVR last week, who had a nice showing. Made a little money on him. I thought it was a good spot. Not sure I'll get back on him. Lanto made the cut last week. I thought it was good to see him back out healthy and playing well. I gave him a little look as well. Yeah, gosh, is there, as I look down, is there that 300, 400, Austin Smotherman, talented young player who has Pearson Cootie is in the field this week. Hubbard always seems to pop on some boards when you start looking at some ball striking. Into the 500s. Molinex has distance.
Oh man, you're going, Travis, deep.
I'm taking us down to that. Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to do any of that.
You're going deep.
But just you know, Will Gordon, there, you know, he's at 200. I was on him last week. I liked him to make the cut, and he was there. So he's treading water. Yeah, I don't think I'll go any. You know, Akshay's probably as low as I'm going to go. Down in the 150. I might sprinkle Ben on again at 125, and I'm certainly going to sprinkle Davis in the 100 range. So that's probably as low as I'll go.
I'm not going to get much further than Akshay.
And, I'm going to text you when Davis is T2 going into Sunday.
And I'm going to text you back when he misses your top 20 placement because he goes into the green mile and he goes, I can finish top 10 at Quail Hollow. A couple things about that green mile. Everyone's always talking about the final three holes here. Something I want your listeners and your viewers to pay attention to.
Okay.
Is this golf course, when you walk the golf course and you're here on the property, you really start to see that it's almost three different golf courses. So if you break them up in six hole stretches, and if you're looking at first round leaders or any of that type of stuff, if you're starting on hole one, you get the six toughest holes back to back. Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone makes a big deal again about those last three, but the first six are really hard. They play almost three quarters of a shot over par. You got a really tough par three in there. You've got like four brutal par fours. I mean, so you got to get going early if you're first tee. The next six holes are your scoring holes. You got two par fives in there and a reachable par four, right? So you get it going between 7 and 12. And then the closing part is exactly what they probably wanted, what Cobb wanted from the beginning in the 60s when he designed this place. But it's super volatile because you've got the drivable par four, you've got the reachable par five, and then you've got those three finishing holes, which are brutal. So just the ebbs and flows of how this place kind of happens, right? If you want to get excited about a guy and you're looking on Thursday morning, make sure he's playing the front nine when he starts out 2 under for 3. Then you go, man, I got somebody I could actually think about versus if he starts 2 under on the back nine and you're like, well, we haven't really played one hard hole yet, you know? So just something to keep in mind for your audience, because I know that they're a highly intelligent crew. You know, you keep them very thoughtful, and I want to try to enhance the Stripe Show in some way.
Yeah. Well, the 18th hole is number one handicap. 17th hole's number two, and the 16th hole's number four. So there you have it, right? That's the way I'm looking at it, the way it rolls out. All right, good stuff. Keith Stewart, go check it out. At Read the Line, live from Quail Hollow. Great stuff. I can't thank you enough.
Travis, as a PGA pro, I said it on Twitter, there's nothing better than being on a Stripe Show.
All right, I appreciate it. Have a great week.
You too.